Only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is Brother Arnold with the Repair the Breach broadcast, Restore the Past to Dwell In. We've been preaching and teaching that our Savior's true Hebrew name is YHWH. And, you know, I don't know what it is people can't understand about that. It just takes a very little bit of study to search the scriptures and then go to any Hebrew or Greek-speaking scholar, and they'll acknowledge that that was our Savior's original Hebrew name. But anyhow, I want to talk to you a little bit about, of course, you know, we've been preaching and teaching that the true weekly Sabbaths are determined by the great lights of Genesis 1:14, where he said, let them, talking about the great lights, sun and moon, stars, he said, let them be for days and years, signs and seasons. Well, the weekly Sabbath is a day. The word season there in Hebrew is moed, and the weekly Sabbath is a moed. And in Psalms 104:19, where he said he appointed the moon for moeds. Now, these are talking about worship moeds. He's talking about all moeds, like when the stork knows its time, or the daily moed of the evening and morning sacrifice. He's talking about worship moeds. And guess what? The weekly Sabbath is the first worship moed in Leviticus 23, where he said, these are my feasts. It talks about holy convocations. Holy convocation is a worship day. So the worship moeds are by the phases of the moon. Now that should end the debate once and for all, but as most everything else, the debate goes on. The scripture teaches us to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that's what we're doing here. Now, a lot of people try to say Pentecost disproves lunar Sabbaths, when in fact, Pentecost disproves the traditional weekly Sabbath that's just by a carnal count of 1 through 7, nothing in nature to support it. When everything else, every other feast or time under heaven is found in nature. Just like I was telling you the other week, just like when a day begins. A day don't begin at 12 midnight. You can't punch somebody at 12 midnight and say, hey, we just entered a new day. There's nothing in nature supporting that. A scriptural day begins at evening when the light leaves, the light that he called day leaves. A new 24-hour day or space of time begins. And just like a month, it's not just because you count 30 or 31 days. That ain't what makes a month. What makes a month is the moon. From one lunation to another. That's a month. Of course, a man named Julius Caesar thought to change times, and he'd done away with the moon, which also done away with the weekly Sabbaths. But I want to show you something here, and I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Those of you that know anything about the Septuagint, it's the Old Testament, or the Torah. It's written in Greek, where the Greek-speaking Jews that couldn't read or understand Hebrew like some of us, they could read the Scriptures in their own language. So in the Septuagint, the count for Pentecost, there's scriptures there, and a lot of people don't know this, but the Septuagint was more quoted in the New Testament by the Messiah and the apostles than the Hebrew text. And maybe we can teach on that one day. But when he said search the scriptures, he was reading from the Septuagint. And Brother Larry Atchkin done a good job on showing a lot of things on the Septuagint and the reliability of it and different things. Of course, Philo, Josephus, all of them went back. But the Septuagint was quoted from more than the Masoretic or Hebrew text. So they were reading it there, but here's the point I want to make. In the second chapter of Acts, the Hebrew-speaking Jews and the Greek-speaking Jews from Egypt, Alexander, Egypt, and from every nation, kindred, tongue, they were all present on the day of Pentecost, when Pentecost had fully come, when it came to pass. In other words, those from Egypt, they read the Septuagint. Those from Jerusalem there, and a lot of them read the Septuagint too, but some of them read the Hebrew text. But here's the point I want to make. Somehow or another, if they were there on the same day when Pentecost fully come, that means they had to start to count for Pentecost on the same day. That's an absolute. And guess what? The Hebrew-speaking Jews counted from the morrow after the weekly Sabbath. Because that's what that word Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, the wave sheaf, which would be, we believe, the morrow of the weekly Sabbath is the morrow of the 15th, first day of unleavened bread, which would be the 16th. Now listen carefully. The Greek-speaking Jews that read from the Septuagint, they began their count from the morrow after the 15th. Now, are they contradicting each other? We say no. We say the morrow after the 15th is the morrow after the weekly Sabbath. And that's how they arrived at Pentecost in the book of Acts on the same day, because they understood lunar weeks. And at the end of a lunar week, you have a lunar Sabbath, which is always on the 8th, then 6 work days in the Sabbath, your full moon, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. This is why we can offer a $10,000 reward to anyone that can produce a weekly Sabbath that was not on one of these 4 major phases of the moon. That's what it's put up there for, appointments. You say, well, Brother Arnold, it's not for the weekly appointments. Well, where does it teach that at? Where does it teach there's a continual 1-7 over and over like a hamster in a cage type thing, just a carnal count? Where does it teach that the moon is just a carnal count of 30 or 31 days? You can make all of this work, but it's an artificial measurement of time, just like the day beginning at 12 midnight and the year beginning January the 1st. There's nothing in nature to support that. There's nothing in nature that supports a year beginning January 1st. But now if you begin the year the moon abib or green ears, whenever you have a something happening by the great lights like the vernal equinox and the autumnal equinox, you got things happening in the heaven. You got things that shows you things. Well, you got the moon that'll show you it's from one lunation to another, and you can mark your days. Well, the weeks also, you got something in nature that happens with the great lights. The moon goes off and on, it beacons. It says for signs and season. That word sign in Hebrew is a beacon. Something that goes off and something you can tell. You can't just look at the sun and use a strict solar calendar like people do today. And you can't say today's the 12th day of the sun or 12th day of whatever. You got to, you taste both. He said, what Yahweh had joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, he was talking about man and wife there. But he also joined when he said, let them. He is the sun, she is the moon. And he said, let them be for days and years and appointments or signs and seasons. Well, back to my point that I was trying to make. If you count from the morrow after the 15th, like the Greek-speaking Jews did, there's no question about this. And I'll read you something here in just a minute from Dr. Samuel Bakyokin. Most of you know him. You know he was a Saturday evening, Sabbath keeper. And I was too for many years. Matter of fact, I wrote him a letter. He died about 6 months ago, 5 or 6 months ago. And I had wrote him a letter, and I went over to get his address and seen the obituary that where he had died. I never got to talk to him. Some of my opponents that opposed Lunar Sabbath talked to him, but I wished I had a talk to him, because I seen some things in his writings that if I could have talked to him, he would have embraced Lunar Sabbath, because for some of the things he says. One of the things he says in his writings, in his book, he wrote a book on the feast days. It's see if I can get the name of it here. His name of it is God's Festivals in Scripture and History, Part 1. And under his Spring Festivals, page 168, 169, he describes how that... I'll read it here in a minute. But he understands that in the Septuagint, it teaches that the first day of unleavened bread is a holy convocation. And it says, and the morrow after the first day is the priest is when he weighs the sheep. Of course, Josephus said he does it on the second day of unleavened bread, which is the same thing. And Philo says the same thing. Now, Philo was a Jew from Alexander, Egypt, a Greek-speaking Jew. He was a Levite priest, and he kept the weekly Sabbaths by the phases of the moon. Why? Because that's what the Septuagint taught him to do. It taught him to keep lunar Sabbaths. Now, the way we know this, and even Samuel Bakayoko backs it up on this part, and I'll read it here in a minute. Of course, he didn't keep it that way, and I'm not saying nothing down in him. Don't get me wrong, because I didn't even know him. And from what I believe and read, I believe he was a fine man. He just didn't have all the parts of the puzzle. Don't make him evil. He just didn't know. There's a lot of scholars that know our Savior's name, YHWH. They just don't see the importance of it, or they just can't get the revelation that that's the only name under heaven that you can be saved by. Remember our Savior said, John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name. You receive me not, but another come in his own name, him you will receive. There's another counterfeit name that the whole world has received. Revelation talks about she has the name of blasphemy in her head. She's the mother of harlots. In other words, she's got daughters somewhere, and they're all calling on a blasphemous name. Now, I know that's hard on somebody, and I don't say it to mean it to be hard, and that ain't my subject tonight. Maybe I get on that one day. But anyhow, there's a counterfeit Sabbath. You say, well, Brother Arnold, I thought that was Sunday. No. The Catholics and all, they acknowledge that Saturday's the seventh day. They believe Sunday's the first day of the week, therefore they have to believe Saturday's the seventh day of the week. That ain't the counterfeit. The counterfeit come in when Julius Caesar actually thought to change times. He changed and booted the moon out of the calendar. When Yahweh said, let them. Yahweh joined the sun and the moon together, and man has put asunder the moon. Okay, well, you take the moon out of the equation, and it's for Moeds, and the week of the Sabbath is Moeds, so they started counting 30, 31 days, and then they started counting 1 through 7. Hey, and even the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, look under weeks in it. And you know what it says? Same thing. It said the moon, the weekly Sabbath, the weeks were risen by the phase of the moon. And most scholars and people acknowledge it. The ones that don't acknowledge it said, no, it goes back to creation. Well, it does go back to creation. The weekly Sabbath goes back to creation when he said, let them be for days and years. People say, well, the moon was created on day 4. Well, the scripture don't teach that. Neither does the Hebrew scholar Rashi that wrote on it. So you had evening and morning, three work days before the fourth work day, and it was placed. It don't say it created. It said that he appointed. In Genesis, it said made. He made them for a rule today and for appointments. That's what he made them to do. Psalms 104:19, where he said he appointed the moon for seasons. That word pointed is the same Hebrew word as made in Genesis 1:14, where it said he made two great lights. What he done, he pointed two great lights. He placed them in the firmament there to give light on earth and be for a calendar, to beacon the appointments. But even if he had created it on day four, it would still be in time to do what it was created for, and that's to beacon the weekly appointments. Because, see, they hadn't left Egypt yet in Genesis for unleavened bread and tabernacles. The only appointment there, or the major appointment, was the weekly Sabbath. And that's what it was for. It didn't just sit idle for all them years, and then all of a sudden when they left Egypt, then the moon's going to kick in and beacon the tabernacles and unleavened bread. It beaconed appointments for all these years. And I'll give a website and a number for free information. And most of you know that I purpose in my heart to not take any money for preaching or teaching Yahweh's word. Not desires of vainglory. I've got no hidden agendas. I'm just sharing what has been revealed to me. Now, I know there's a lot of people won't believe it, will never believe it, and that's okay. The truth is still the truth if nobody in the world believes it. Still the truth. And a lie is still a lie no matter if everybody believes it. It's just the way it is. Truth has no fear of open debate. And it's not afraid of close scrutiny. I want people to scrutinize my writing, what I teach. And if I'm wrong, I'll stop. It's your obligation. You're supposed to do that. But you know, a lot of people, when I say truth has no fear of open debate, I have openly, for the last, I don't know how many years, maybe 10 or 12 years, challenged anybody to come on and defend your Saturday Sabbath. Now, if I was a Sunday keeper and made that challenge, they would be all over me. Like I always say, like a chicken on a June bug. You ever seen a chicken get at a June bug? Or white on rice. You've heard that, I guess. Well, anyhow, I have challenged all over the world and would pay for the time, but yet these uppity preachers, some of them don't even know the sacred name, they'll write articles and they love to do things in darkness, but they won't come on and I'll pay for the time and be nice to them and give them equal time, give them 5 minutes, me 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, back and forth so people can hear both sides of the matter. So, but yet, you get no takers. Now, the Sunday people tell people to stay away from them Saturday keepers. Because, see, they can't defend against it. Anybody with two brains will want to keep the weekly Sabbath day, right? Okay. But the Saturday people tell their members, stay away from the lunar people. Wonder why? The Bible said when you name the name Yahweh, they'll be afraid of it. But anyhow, you know, it's hard to get all I want to say in 30 minutes. I tell you, it's amazing. Maybe one day I get me an hour on here. I'd say a lot an hour. They say talk's cheap. It's not on the radio. But yeah, talk is cheap. Bible said prove all things and hold fast that which is good. But I can prove that it's absolutely impossible for somebody to start counting in the first month, the morning after the 15th, which it says the morning of the Sabbath. They say, well, that's your high day Sabbath. Well, yeah, it's a double Sabbath. It's also a weekly Sabbath. Remember over in the New Testament where it said, and that Sabbath day was a high day? It's talking about that weekly Sabbath was a high day. In other words, it's also the first day of unleavened bread. So they wanted to get the bodies off the tree. And that Sabbath day was a high day. Well, sure. It don't say it was a high day Sabbath. It says that Sabbath day was a high day. In other words, yeah. Anyhow, the true weekly Sabbaths, you do not need a man. See, something that carries the death penalty, you got commandments, statutes, and judgments. Commandment is to keep the Sabbath day. It's a commandment. Statutes tells you how to do it, and judgments will tell you what will happen to you if you don't do it. Now, do you think the Heavenly Father would give us a commandment that carried the death penalty and tell us that if we don't keep it, it's going, and not give us in His Scripture and have to depend on some man to tell us when it is? There's many people that's been blinded to the truth. He says, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Now, when people are more loyal to their preacher and their denomination and their organization and their theology than they are the Word of Yahweh, they're in trouble. They're in deep trouble. It is absolutely impossible for these Greek-speaking Jews to have been there counting from the 16th, and these other Jews counting from any day that within unleavened bread, because their Sabbath floats back before between the 7 days of unleavened bread, this traditional Sabbath that never existed back then, but it floats back and forth there, and they wouldn't have been there on the same day. Well, when it says there, let me read what Brother Samuel says here. He says right here that he said, see, he thinks it kind of, on one hand, the Septuagint appears to endorse the holy day, a Sabbath, in verse 11, and then linguistically implies this Sabbath is a seventh-day Sabbath. You hear what he's saying? He's saying that on one hand, it looks like it endorses, you know, the Septuagint appears to endorse the holy days as a Sabbath in verse 11, and then linguistically implies this Sabbath is a seventh-day Sabbath. In other words, a weekly Sabbath. He said, let me read here from this book. He said, the Pharisees interpreted the Sabbath as a festival day of Passover, Nicene 15, which was also the first day of the feast. Now, this is a guy that keeps Saturday Sabbath, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, and listen to what he said. Thus, they weighed the first sheaf of the barley on the following day, Nicene 16. And from that day, they counted the 50 days of Pentecost. He says the chief support of this interpretation comes from the Greek version, Septuagint, of Leviticus 23:11. The priest shall weigh the omer on the mar after the first day of unleavened bread. But in verse 15 of the same chapter, we read the word Shabbat, or Sabbath. He said, in Greek, when used by itself, can mean only the seventh day of the week. But see, he never stopped to think that the mar after the Sabbath is the mar after the 15th. And that's why the Greek-speaking Jews called it Shabbat. That's why they were there at Pentecost on the same day. Are you following what I'm saying? Because they understood lunar Sabbaths. The only way that the seventh day of the week, and of course Philo said the seventh day of the week begins these feasts, talking about tabernacles, the seven-day feast, and unleavened bread. And Philo read from the Septuagint. So he, from tabernacle and unleavened bread, he says you got two seventh days there. He said one that begins the feast, talking about the 15th, and one that ends the feast, talking about the seventh day of the feast. You know, I don't know what it would take to wake people up to this. I guess a lot of them would wake up if they'd hear it. Maybe you listeners can help spread it around, and if by chance we're missing something, you can show us, or we can either change it or show you where it's right. But anyhow, he goes on and he says that this Sabbath in Greek, when used by itself, a whole, it says that it can be, it refers to the seventh day of the week, or the week as a whole, but not an annual feast. Now, that's where he's talking about the annual feast. They think they differ. It says, in the Targum of Jerusalem, T-A-R-G-U-M, of Jerusalem, we find the same interpretation for Leviticus 23:11. In other words, he's saying this is where they get their support. It says, after the first festal day of Passover, he says, Philo and Josephus support the same tradition. Philo writes, within the festival of unleavened bread, there is another festival falling directly after the first day. And he says, in a similar vein, Josephus writes, from the second day of unleavened bread, they count 50 days. He said, indirectly support for this interpretation is also found in Joshua 5:11. And on the morrow of Passover, on the very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes. In other words, now he's saying that the scripture there in Joshua 5:11 supports this teaching. Well, if you got all of these people and everything supporting it, what's the argument? He says this suggests that the Passover, Nicaea 16, which marked the beginning of the 50 days of the Feast of Weeks. He said this has been the normative Jewish tradition that has continued to our day. But now, he don't keep it like that. But anyhow, he presents undeniable scripture and proof that that's the way you should count. But then he goes on and he talks about the Sadducees and the Bethuans, whoever that is, and Karaites, and the Samaritans. He says they counted up, but he gives no history. See, this comes along later. He gives no support for that. But anyhow, you can verify what I'm saying in the Septuagint. It's unbelievable. It's never about unbelievable what people can come up with to hold to a tradition. Now, I ain't saying Samuel like this. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. Matter of fact, I got the letter that I wrote. Hold on, let me read this letter right quick. I got about 5 more minutes. Here's what I wrote to him. Brother Matthew edited it there and everything. And I wrote him a letter because I was hoping to show him and he would wake up and see Lunar Sabbath. I wrote, Dear Mr. Bakelke, I realize you are a busy man, but we need someone like you to help in this matter. I think we both agree, because see, I read his material, I know what he believes. Both agree that the phrase, the moiety of the Sabbath, in Leviticus 23:11, 16, is definitely referring to the moiety of the weekly or seventh-day Sabbath. I think we both agree that the word Sabbath in the Septuagint version of Leviticus 23:16 refers to the week Sabbath and is referring to the 15th of Nisan, Abib, in Leviticus 23:11. I think you believe the Septuagint to be contradictory to the Hebrew Masoretic text. I feel that they are in harmony between the Hebrew. There is a harmony between the Hebrew and the Septuagint translation. If the Septuagint wasn't right and they didn't get there on the same day, and that's what it was written for, so that they could read the instructions. Torah is a bad when it says law is a bad translation, it should be Torah or instructions. Well, they wanted to read the instructions in their own language. Well, the first Pentecost come around, odds are they wouldn't have been there on the same day counting if they didn't count to the same day, and they would have corrected the mistake. There's no mistake there. It's just an understanding. The understanding is that they kept lunar Sabbaths and lunar weeks. You know, it's amazing. People need to wake up and check this out and see if it's so or not. Be like the Bereans. But anyhow, let's see. And so I think you believe the Septuagint be contradictory to the Hebrew Masoretic. I feel that there is a harmony between the Hebrew text and Septuagint translation. If one understands that in ancient biblical times, the Hebrew reckoned their weeks by the phases of the moon. In other words, the 15th of Aviv, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, would be the weekly seventh-day Sabbath. This stems from not counting the new moon at the beginning of the month. See, it was a worship day by itself. Within the weeks. Thus causing Sabbaths to fall upon the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. My time has just about gone. I won't be able to read all of it. But let me give you a website, a phone number, address. You can write or call. The phone number you can call as soon as this broadcast is over, error code is 770-483-8542. That number again is 770-483-8542. Or you can go to the website. It's lunarsabbath.info. That's LunarSabbath.info. Lunarsabbath.info. Check it out, people. Search to see if this be so or not. Don't just take my word for it, and don't take nobody else's word for that traditional Saturday Sabbath, which is the best choice over Sunday, but it's not right. Anyhow, till next week, may Yahweh bless you. We're waiting on your call. Shalom.